We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 17. We are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building. I laid a foundation like a wise builder according to God's grace that was given to me, but someone else is building on top of it. Each person needs to pay attention to the way they build on it. No one can lay any foundation besides the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So whether someone builds on top of the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, or hay, each one's work will be clearly shown. The day will make it clear because it will be revealed with fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work survives, they'll get a reward. But if anyone's work goes up in flames, they'll lose it. However, they themselves will be saved as if they have gone through a fire. Don't you know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? If someone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, because God's temple is holy, which is what you are. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
So we're continuing our sermon series on the games people play. And this week it's about Jenga, and I actually really like that Jenga is just laying there, because that'll kind of help the visual as I preach. The game Jenga actually originated from a game that was actually founded in Ghana. A family from Ghana brought it, created this game the way we see it. And in about 1986, it was launched in the United States. There are 54, as the website says, precision blocks. Because if you buy a non-Jenga tower kind of game, they're not actually precision blocks. You know, they're perfectly designed, whatever, with their little logo on them. And when you start the game, there are 18 levels of three blocks. Alternating, so three this way, then three this way, alternating back and forth. That's how the game is played. Anybody ever played Jenga? Okay, quite a few of you. That's good. So the game is played that you find a loose. I like to kind of try them. You find a loose block and you pull it out and then you place it on the top in alternating directions and you keep growing the tower so that there's three, and the only one that you can't take out of is the one that's being built right below the one that's there. And you just kind of keep building the tower until you get tall. Apparently, the highest tower is 40 stories, 40 complete stories. And so that's a little more than two times the size, so probably about up to here. That's pretty impressive, right? And we've always played it in our family that when you put the block on the tower, you count 1,000 to 5, or 1 Mississippi, and then if it falls after 5, you're not responsible. And if the next person hasn't touched it yet, then of course nobody is responsible. But the idea is that after your turn, that the tower not fall. Now, one of the things that I've discovered with that is if you take the two from the bottom, we actually have a similar structure to what Melinda was talking about with her tree-like structure. And see, there's only one down there now. A lot less stable than if you left two and took out the middle one. So keep that in mind. Keep this kind of pile in mind as we talk a little bit more about what God has to tell us through Scripture and Jenga. Our scripture reading today is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And in order to really understand it, talking about building a solid foundation in the Corinthian church, we need to learn a little bit more about Corinth and the people there. Paul is writing this letter to the people of the church because he's had reports that they aren't exactly behaving very Christ-like. That they're not very faithful, and that they lack unity as a church. And so this town of Corinth has a little bit to do with what's happening in the church in Corinth, in this first century Mediterranean place. You see, Corinth is located in southern Greece. It's about 50 miles from Athens. And because of its location and land, it is strategically located on the trade routes between sort of seaport trade routes between Asia and Rome. And so it's a pretty important city. There's a lot of people coming through there. There's a lot of trade going on. And there's a lot of other things happening in this city. In this place in Greece, in Corinth, there are a lot of different pagan religions practiced. Now, what is a pagan religion? Have you heard that word before? Non-Christian, non-Jew, non-kind of mainline denomination. So, worshiping other gods. The gods, the worshiping that's going on there, they're worshiping Egyptian gods because of their location. They're worshiping, of course, the Greek gods and the Roman gods. Because there are so many people coming through there, they are worshiping all these different gods there. And pagan worship is much different than Hebrew worship and much different than Christian worship, especially in that region. And so Paul decided to start a church in Corinth for this very reason, because it was this trade route area, because there was this sort of pagan religion going on there. Paul knew that this was a great place to plant a church. Paul knew that because of these trade routes, Christ's church would then expand, because as people would come in for trade, they would take that information back to their hometowns. But what happens in this town of Corinth is that these pagan influences, these worshiping many different gods, brought with it some temptation, brought with it, a big city with its commerce tends to have a little more corruption, a little more stuff happening there. And Paul kind of had his work cut out for him in this place. And so this is where we pick up the story today. And Paul reports that he's received reports that worshipers of the Corinthian church were being divisive. They were experiencing jealousy of others in their worship styles. There was sexual immorality. There was disorder in the church. There was lack of unity among the people. And he's also concerned that the Corinthian church folks are lacking basic Christian moral qualities like consideration for others and sincerity and love for neighbor and humility. One of the characteristics of the Greek and Roman God worship is that it was every person for themselves. So don't think about others, just think about what I can get for myself. And so the Corinthian church is starting to act more along the lines of the pagans around them, the non-Christians, the non-Jews. Paul's biggest concern is that the church folks were trying to blend in with the world around them instead of living slightly apart in a more Christ-like manner. In short, the outsider that wasn't in the church couldn't tell who the Corinthian church people were and who the non-Corinthian church people were, because they didn't have those quite Christ-like qualities. Matthew 5:20 talks about the master, of course, being Jesus, requires that there be a marked difference between believers and non-believers. And so when someone is living day-to-day as a follower of Jesus Christ, it should be pretty obvious to those around them. If you're a follower of Christ, others should see a difference in you, in your day-to-day actions. And so Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, is reminding them that he, when he started the church, laid a solid foundation that was established in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so with our children's time, this one right here is our solid foundation, the one with two on the bottom. In our Jenga game, not very solid with one on the bottom, but more solid with two. And so laying this solid foundation that allows the teachings of Jesus to permeate into all aspects of our lives. And Paul is cautioning the people there that to stray away from the teachings of Jesus Christ was to build a church that would build a believer with materials that wouldn't withstand the trials and tribulations of daily life. So we, in our kids' time, were able to like, push over that one that was only one. It was able to be pushed over easy. The other one, not so much. Those are the trials that we experience. We experience trials, and Paul says, will be revealed by fire. Trial by fire. We've heard that, right? Trial by fire? A common thing. Fire being the bad things that happen to us. In the scripture, again, in verse 11 through 13, it says, no one can lay any foundation besides the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So whether someone builds on top of the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, or hay, each one's work will be clearly shown. The day will make it clear because it will be revealed by fire, and the work will be tested. I hope everybody knows this is a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor. It's not, I mean, it's there to help us better understand what Paul is trying to tell us. And he used this metaphor that when we build with gold and silver and precious stones, they can withstand some fire. They're more sturdy. You know, a ring or a piece of jewelry that's made out of precious stones and gold is going to withstand the test of time. But a nickel, you know, remember the nickel rings in the gumball machine? Now they're probably 50 cents or something. They will not withstand that kind of pressure. And he even says things like wood and straw and hay will burn. And so he's talking about what are we building our church on? What are we building our faith on? He's calling believers, and he's calling believers then in the Corinthian church, Paul is calling believers now. He's calling us as believers to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with solid materials that will withstand the trial by fire, will withstand the things that come our way. My friends, when we decided to follow Jesus, and I recognize that maybe some of you are still trying to decide if you're going to follow Jesus. We started learning about Jesus Christ, and we started to build our foundation of faith on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Whether we learned as a child or as a young adult or as an adult, we started building on those teachings. It's not enough to just say, I believe in Jesus Christ and call it good from there. We're called by Jesus to do more. A life in Jesus Christ means following and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our actions. And those actions are to love one another unconditionally, to serve the needs of others, putting others first, to continue to read Scripture and learn more, and to meet with other believers in small groups and in worship and in Bible study and in prayer. And to spend time alone with Jesus Christ, to have some quiet time with the Lord. These are the building materials that allow us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And those are the things that will help us when we are tested by fire, tested by the things of life. Like the church in Corinth, we must be careful how we live life between Sundays, that we don't conform so much to the world outside that they don't see Christ in us. We're called to let others see Jesus living in us. The play of the game of Jenga is designed for the tower to get higher and higher and higher without falling. The trouble is, we know that the higher it gets, the less stable it gets, right? The farther the tower gets from the base, the solid foundation, the tougher it is to keep it stable. My friends, it's like that in our faith. The farther we get from the foundational teachings of Jesus Christ, the tougher our lives get. The time that we spend intentionally with Jesus Christ is important in helping us stay near the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's important that what we build on is solid and not wavy. Like the tree with roots Because a young tree has a better chance of falling down than an older established tree with lots and lots of roots. So I ask you, my friends, what have you built your foundation on? What does your foundation look like in Jesus Christ? What are the things that will help you have a solid foundation when the trials of life come? When you need to get through a job loss or a job change or a major move or the death of a loved one or the stresses of parenting or health issues, addictions. I'm going to invite you to help me build a solid foundation just as a way. You have to know that I taught for 16 years and I taught science, and so I hardly ever lectured, and so sometimes when I preach, I have to actually teach. So we're going to do a kind of a physical thing, a physical illustration, and I'm going to invite you to tell me what are the essential foundational pieces of Jesus Christ that we need to build on. And my husband's a woodworker, so I got lots of wood. So I'm going to write on the wood right here a foundational teaching, an essential foundational teaching of Jesus Christ. So what do we build? What do we build on?
Faith.
Love. Okay, you got to give me a chance to write. So these are great. These are great. That one fits on there nicely. Okay. Forgiveness. Did I hear trust? Trust, okay. Thought I heard grace too. I think I did, didn't I? Okay. So trust, okay.
Service.
Oh, we gotta get grace and then we'll get service. Also, I don't take responsibility for my spelling when I do it in front of people. Sometimes it doesn't always work. My students used to laugh at me when I'd write on the chalkboard and misspell a word. So,
caring.
Oh, wait, there was service? Is that right? And then caring.
Knowledge.
What kind of knowledge?
Of the word.
Knowledge of the word, yes. That'd be a capital W word. Glad I had a big block for that one. Knowledge of the word. Okay, what else? I got two more. Huh? Outreach? Okay. And I heard worship, and then that's my last block. But there's probably a lot more, right? We'll put prayer on with worship. Thank you. Can't forget prayer. Prayer should probably be down here too. Just saying, right? Prayer should be on all of them. So when we build our faith on the foundation that is of Jesus Christ, these teachings, these essential things, this is what helps us have a solid foundation. This is what helps us get through the trials and tribulations of life. What you do on Sunday needs to leave here with you, and it needs to happen between Sundays. All of this needs to be the life that you lead. What can you do differently to continue to build solidly on that foundation? Could you join a gig? Could you serve in the community? Christ calls us to allow others to see Christ in us. And we do that by the way that we build on the solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank and praise you for the solid foundation that you give us when we believe in you. Help us to continue to build on it with materials that will sustain all of the hardships of life and help others to be able to see you in us. In your holy name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.